ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः इट् इस् एन् आस्पीशियस् वासुदेवद्वादशी तिथि टुडे So as we started an auspicious Dashami day on Saturday for few minutes, and to avoid the second day obstacle, Dvitiya Vigram, we also had a few minutes class yesterday, and today is supposed to be the day we had to continue, the first day of the week, and we decided to start with the Kena Upanishad, Parvanitya Upanishad Adhyayana Jnana Yajna. Nitya Upanishad Adhyayana Jnana Yajna. Taittiriya Gita Bhasham classes, two classes a week. We do on weekends, fine. But now this, we'll cover the small Upanishads first. I thought let us begin with the Kena Upanishad. Even though already we have covered Katha, etc. Kena Upanishad also I did many years ago when I was living in Spire Court. Okay. Let us go back to Kena Upanishad Shantipata. Before we enter into the actual text, this Kena Upanishad is known as Kena Upanishad because Upanishad begins with the mantra, the first word of which is Kena. Kena is the interrogative pronoun. The third case form of kim or kaha, the masculine form. The third case form of the interrogative pronoun kim. What kena? So kena means by what? By which, by whom. And the Upanishad, the first mantra, begins with the word Kena. So first word of the first mantra is a Kena, interrogative pronoun, the third case form. Therefore, Upanishad is given the title Kena Upanishad. And we know very well Vedaha is one shastram, one text. But it became divided into four with the four different names as Rig, Yajus, Sama, Atharvana. Only after being compiled by Vyasa Bhagavan. Vyasacharya compiled the mantras. The one Veda got grouped into four as Rig, Yajus, Sama, Atharvana. And we know very well, for each Veda, we have Shantipataha. For four Vedas, we have five Shanti Mantras, Shantipataha. How four Vedas we got five Shanti Mantraha? Because this Yajur Veda, Rig Veda is only one, Sama Veda is only one, Atharana Veda is only one, Yajur Veda alone has got two parts. Yajur Veda has got two parts as Krishna Yajur Vedaha and the Shukla Yajur Vedaha. Therefore, for each part, we have a separate Shantipataha. Therefore, totally we got five Shanti Mantraha. of the five Shanti Mantraha, and here the Keno Upanishad, like the Chandogya Upanishad. Chandogya Upanishad is a big Upanishad. Kena is a small Upanishad. And these two Upanishads belong to Samaveda. So Samavediya Upanishad. Kena and Chandogya Upanishads belong to Samaveda. So Samaveda Shanti Mantra is the one, the Shanti Mantra which is supposed to read for this Upanishad. And yesterday I briefly mentioned the purpose of doing the Shanti Pataha. Why in the tradition it is made compulsory that we begin the study of the Shastram with the peace invocation known as Shanti Pataha. Okay. Yesterday I explained very briefly the month meaning. Let us do a brief meaning today also. I mean, let us do the meaning properly here before we enter into the study of the Shastra. So remember this first of all. Keno Upanishad, like Chandogya Upanishad, belong to Samavedaha. And the Samaveda Shanti Mantra, Shanti Pataha is this. Om. One more thing you have to remember. When we do Taittiriya Upanishad, we have beautiful Vedic Swaras, Vaidika Swaraha. Like, we understand Anudattaha, Udattaha, Swaritaha, Dirgha Swaritaha. Therefore, we can use those swaras and chant very beautifully. Whereas, for the Samaveda mantras, we do not have proper swaras. We don't have swaras. Swaras might have been there, might have got extinct, we don't know. The swaras being not there, we just recite in simple manner. Om Aapyayan Tumamangani Vak Pranas Chakshushrotramatho Balamindriyani Cha Sarvani. Do this praise, do the Shanti Pata, the focus attention, and let these words be expressed, intently expressed words, because genuinely we are seeking Bhagavan's grace for our physical, emotional well-being, for our strong, healthy limbs, without which no activity is possible, without which pursuit of knowledge will be impossible. So here, if we say apyayantu, apyayatu, apyayatu literally apyayati means grows, vardhate. So apyayatu, let grow. Apyayantu, let grow. So do we ask for the growth of our organs? It is assumed generally the students who would have been in the class those days must have been very young also relatively. So there might have been or there must have been, there might have been prayer for the good growth, full-fledged growth of the organs also. But here it should be interpreted in such a way, not our interpretation, then in tradition itself it is interpreted that may all our organs grow, in the sense may grow, may organs be strong, steady, healthy, that we avoid having pains in all the organs, that we'll be able to study, we'll be able to focus on whatever we need to focus on. That is the idea. Therefore, Mama Angani Apyayantu. Tumamangani. So tomorrow you all come back to the class having memorized this mantra. That is how it's going to be here after the class. Apyayantu mamangani vak pranas chakshushrotramatho balamindriyani cha sarvani. Apyayantu mamangani vak pranas chakshushrotramatho balamindriyani cha sarvani. Apyayantu mamangani vak pranas chakshushrotramatho balamindriyani cha sarvani. I do not want you to think that unnecessarily I am repeating. No. I give you the time for you to understand every word, to retain every word, to assimilate every word, memorize every word. There is a different study program. So, mama angani vak pranaha chakshuhu shrotram sarvani indriyani cha ataha balam apyayantu. This sentence. So may all my organs grow well. May all my organs be healthy, steady, strong, pain free. So here walk the organ of speech. Pranaha, of course, the prana, the breath. Chakshuhu, the seeing power. Shrotram, hearing power. So, sarvanicha indriyani, having mentioned a few, hearing power, etc. Sarvanicha indriyani, and all subtle powers. All subtle powers, including pranas. So, the mind, all my organs, all my subtle powers, all instruments of actions, all instruments of knowledge, all physiological functions, including the internal instrument of knowledge. May all of them grow well, all of them be, may all of them be steady, strong, healthy. They all contribute for my successful accomplishment of my study, learning, understanding of the teaching. And enjoying the benefit of teaching also. That is the meaning of the first sentence. Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam. Now what is second word now? Sarvam Brahma. So Sarvam Brahma means everything is Brahma. Everything is Brahma. Means what? All that is here is only Brahma. There is nothing which is not Brahman. There is no second thing other than Brahma. This is the essence of the all Upanishads. Essence of all Upanishads. Essence of the Prasthana Trayam. The essence, what is the fact? Finally, one has to understand by studying the Bhagavad Gita, by studying all Upanishads, by studying the entire Veda also, by studying, by analyzing the mantras in Brahma Sutra. Finally, what is that one has to understand? This is the fact. One has to understand Brahman, the reality, implied with the term Brahman as one's own Swarupam. And in the light of the vision of Brahman being one's own self, one has to arrive at the fact all that is here is only Brahma. Everything is Brahma. There is no second thing other than Brahma. There is no I. There is no this. There is no nothing other than Brahma here. So this is Sarvam Brahma is the most abstract subtlest fact. Subtlest fact. The essence of the Upanishadic teaching. But this fact cannot be understood without the help of the Upanishad. So, Upanishadam, anything pertaining to Upanishad is Upanishadam. So, Sarvam Brahma. So, Brahman happens to be the subject matter of Upanishad. As Upanishad is the means of knowledge of Brahman, this fact, everything is Brahman, can be understood, arrived at, assimilated only through the Pramanam, the means of knowledge called Upanishad. Therefore, Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam. There's no other way of arriving at the fact that everything is Brahman. In order to understand everything is Brahman, one should know what Brahman is. So to understand what Brahman is, and to understand Brahman as one's own Swarupam, thereby to understand everything is Brahman, we have no choice other than making use of the Upanishad as the means of knowledge. Therefore, Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam, Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam. How Vriddhi Sandhi you can make out? Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam. Om Aapyayantu Mamangani Vak Pranas Chakshushrot Tramatho Balamindriyani Cha Sarvani Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam. Then Maham Brahma Nirakuryam, Maham Brahma Nirakuryam. The prayer is, may I not reject Brahman. What does it mean? It is very easy for any human being to reject Brahman. Why? Simple reason. We had in Taittiriya Upanishad, we understood. The very question came whether Brahman exists or not. Why that question came? The doubt about the existence of Brahman is possible, is very natural, because this Brahman, what is implied by the term Brahman happens to be the abstract, formless reality, subtlest reality, is not, Brahman happens to be the very reality of everything. There's no way of arriving at Brahman through any pramanam, any means of knowledge. No means of knowledge can help us arrive at what Brahman is, how Brahman is, because all pramanams are operatable, all pramanams, all means of knowledge are useful. They serve as means of knowledge only because of the blessing of Brahman. Therefore, no pramanam can reveal Brahman. Are you listening or reading something else? So, no pramanam can reveal Brahman, which means we know very well what we are blessed with. Sense organs cannot perceive Brahman. Mind cannot conceive Brahman. Words cannot describe Brahman. And no other means of knowledge such as inference etc. also can help in understanding Brahman, because all other means of knowledge are dependent on perceptual data. Therefore, there is no way of arriving at Brahman. So, Brahman being not accessible, not available for understanding, cognition through any pramanam, it is very easy for anyone to reject Brahman as something non-existent. It's very easy. So there must be Shraddha in the Shastram. Shastram says Brahma Asti, and the Shastram says, Veda Shastram says Brahma exists. And Brahman has to be discovered. And Brahman can be discovered as one's own Sarupam. By discovering the Brahman, there's a benefit of discovering one's freedom. And to discover that Brahman, one has to really become focused and distraction-free minded, for which one has to follow the way of life enjoined by the Shastram also. Apart from this, Shastram says many other things. What are many other things Shastram says? Shastram talks about 14 worlds. World 7 below, 7 above. Shastram talks about the Brahmanda. Shastram talks about heaven. And Shastram talks about Punya Pahapam. Shastram talks about rebirth. All these are facts revealed by this Shastram. But they're all matter for non-verifiable matter for belief. Non-verifiable matter for belief. But all that is only Brahma is a fact. It is not a matter for belief. It's a fact which can be understood. But Shastram says, therefore, it is very important for one to have Shraddha in the Shastram, faith in the Shastra's teaching. Then one must make efforts. Then one can understand the teaching. One can have the jnana. So how Shastra study should begin with the Shraddha, end with the knowledge. Shastra study should begin with the Shraddha, end with the knowledge. If there's no Shraddha, there's no way of ending with jnana. There's no other way of getting rid of ignorance. So if what Shastram says is not acceptable for me, if what Shastram says is not acceptable for us, because it is non-verifiable matter for belief, then we should know there's no way of disproving what Shastram says also. There's no way of disproving what Shastram says. There's no way of proving what Shastram says also. That is why we say it's a non-verifiable matter for belief. If we remember this fact, if we cannot prove, if we cannot disprove what Shastram says, then there must be, there must be humility. One must be humble intellectually. How one can be humble intellectually? One should remember, Shastram says this, I have tremendous Shraddha in this Shastram. I'm not able to arrive at what Shastram says because of inadequacy of, because of the limitation of the means of knowledge I'm endowed with. I do not have adequate means of knowledge to arrive at what Shastram says. Just because I'm not able to experience something, I cannot reject its existence. What is said by the Shastram? Just because I'm experiencing also, I cannot come to the conclusion something is real also. Therefore, my conclusions should not be based on merely my perception. Of course, I can make the best use of the means of logical perception. So there must be Shraddha first. So even having Shraddha This Shraddha is one of the important qualifications for a student of, as for a spiritual aspirant. So Shraddha, faith in the Shraddha, begin with the Shraddha, end with the Jnanam. Even our worship, our prayer, our meditation, all these kayikam, vachikam, manasam, all these activities also must be begin with the Shraddha. It should culminate in Jnanam. Once Jnanam comes, in the light of Ajna, we can understand how Shastram is beyond reason. At the same time, we'll understand the limitations of reason also. Limitations of logic. Logic is important, but we will see limitations of logic also only in the wake of knowledge of the truth. Therefore, it's very easy for one to reject Shastram, because it is what Shastram says is not acceptable, not available for pramanam, not available for reasoning. Therefore, it is possible for one to simply reject Brahman. One's rejecting Brahman means not making adequate, appropriate efforts to understand the teaching, thereby to discover Brahman. So such a mistake should not happen. So that's a tremendous loss. Therefore, already it is, the prayer is presented here. It's a very important prayer. Maham Brahmanira Kuryam. Ma Aham Brahma Ma Nira Kuryam. See that when you use na with the verb, present tense verb, future tense verb, past tense verb, when you use verbs of different times, then you can use what? You can use this na as a negative particle. But for potential mood and imperative mood, you don't use the negative particle na. Instead, you use ma. Ma nirakuriyam. Balakaha ma nirakarot. Nirakarot. Ma aham nirakuriyam. Aham ma nirakuriyam. May I not reject Brahman? Just because it's not available for my reasoning, not Brahman is not an object of knowledge, available for knowledge, may not reject it. Why it's not available for knowledge? Because Brahman is available for recognition, not as an object, only as a Swarup of this subject. And the subject of knowledge can never become the object of knowledge. Knower can never become the known. Experiencer can never become the experienced. Observer can never become the observed. The enquirer can never be enquired into. Enquirer can never be enquired into. That's why enquiry of the enquirer is only with the help of the Shastram. And enquirer can never be enquired into. Therefore, what? May I not reject Brahman? Maham Brahmanira Kuryam. So may I have Shraddha in the words of this Shastram. I may follow the way of life enjoined by this Shastram. May I pay attention, all my attention, to take care of my emotional well-being. And taking care of one's emotional well-being is what? Taking care of one's emotional stability and intellectual sharpness. Thereby, may I be given to the study of the Upanishads. May I be blessed with understanding of subject matter of the Shastra, Upanishads. This much is implied by that one sentence. Maham Brahma Nirakuryam. Mama Brahma Nirakarot. Yesterday also explained the meaning, literal meaning. So Brahma Mam Ma Nirakarot. May Brahman not reject me. Means may have the blessing of Brahman to be able to discover Brahman. We need Bhagavan's grace to discover Bhagavan. Even to be inclined for knowledge, we need grace. And to make efforts to know, we need grace. To be successful in our efforts, we need grace. To discover Bhagavan, we need grace. We are at the mercy of Bhagavan's grace. How long? Until we know. Until we discover, we need grace. Isn't it? And then we become the personification of grace once you discover. Embodiment of grace. Every jnani is embodiment of grace. So in order to be an embodiment of grace, we need to seek grace to be successful in our pursuit of knowledge. Therefore, Brahma ma nirakuryat, because of some pratibandhas, because of some parabdha punya papam, for some reason or the other, may I not be deprived of the vision of the Brahman. So may Brahman not reject me. May Brahman not, Brahman does not reject. Brahman cannot reject you. Brahman is very you. So may Brahman not reject me means Brahma ma nirakuryat, nirakarot. Ma, Brahma ma nirakarot. May Brahman not reject me. Means may have all possible grace to be able to pursue the knowledge, to be able to study the Shastram, to be able to understand the teaching, to be able to assimilate the teaching, thereby to discover Brahman as my Swarupam. May have all the grace I need to discover Brahman as my Swarupam. So may Brahman not reject me. Mama Brahma Nirakarot Anirakaranamastu Anirakaranamastvanirakaranam me astu. Anirakaranam astu. Again Anirakaranam astu. The astu anirakaram, when you begin, there's a yan sandhi. Remember that? Ani, the rukara becomes vakara. Anirakaranamastvanirakaranam me astu. Anirakaranamastvanirakaranam me astu. Let there be non-rejection on my part. Let there be non-rejection on the part of Brahman. Means let there be appropriate, adequate efforts on my part. Total commitment. The study of the Shastram. May my Shraddha in the Shastram be very firm. May have the grace of Shastram. May have the grace of Ishvara. May have the grace of Guru. Shastra Krupa, Guru Krupa, Ishvara Krupa. May have all grace so that May I be blessed with the, may my pursuit of knowledge, my study of this Shastram be accomplished successfully. Let there not be rejection on my part, means what? It implies this much. Let there not be rejection on my part means may I make all appropriate, adequate efforts. May I have all grace to be, make appropriate, adequate efforts to pursue knowledge, to study the Shastram, to be able to understand the teaching, able to assimilate the teaching, to enjoy the benefit of teaching, to complete the project of Shastra study successfully, may I have all grace. This is very important. We are not casually making the prayer. It is a very intense, serious, fervent prayer here. The same way, so let there not be rejection on the part of Brahman, means what? There's a desperate expression of one's seeking grace for the vision of Brahman. Isn't it? Let there not be rejection on the part of Brahman. So prayer itself is an expression of desperateness, of seeking grace for accomplishing what has to be accomplished choicelessly. So anirakaranam astva nirakaranam me astu. So this twice uttering, let there not be rejection, let there not be rejection. Let there be non-rejection, let there be non-rejection. So repetition is for emphasizing one's prayer, to make one's prayer more emphatic, highly emphatic. The sentences are repeated. Anirakaranam astvanirakaranam me astu tadatmani nirate ya upanishat sudharmaste mayi santu tadatmani nirate. Ye dharmaha here means what? The virtues, the qualifications in terms of what? The capacity to follow values. So having being endowed with all virtues, being a person of values, and being blessed with the mental discipline. Tadatmani nirateya upanishat sudharmaste mayi santu. So, ye dharmaha upanishatsu. The dharmaha means virtues, the qualifications, all qualifications required for a spiritual aspirant to be able to pursue knowledge and to attain knowledge. We know very well there are many virtues. Once a person knows the value of jnanam, a person understands the limitations of everything. It is the Viveka and Vairagyam will help a person develop all the virtues effortlessly. సో ఏ ధర్మాహ ఉపనిషత్సు ఆల్ ద వర్చ్యూస్ ఆల్ ద క్వాలిఫికేషన్స్ మనిషిది ఉపనిషత్ నౌ అట్ ప్రెసెంట్ ద స్టూడెంట్ హియర్ ఇస్ హంబుల్ ఇన్నఫ్ టు సే అక్సెప్ట్ వాట్ ఆల్ దోస్ వర్చ్యూస్ మే నాట్ బి దేర్ అడిక్వేట్లీ ఆన్ మై పార్ట్ ఆల్ దోస్ క్వాలిఫికేషన్స్ మే నాట్ బి దేర్ ఆన్ మై పార్ట్ దెవర్ వాట్ ఎవర్ క్వాలిఫికేషన్స్ ఆర్ మెన్షన్డ్ ఇన్ ది ఉపనిషత్ And may all those qualifications be on my part. We may be qualified, may I have all those virtues and qualifications required for the jnanam. Why? Because atmani nirataha aham. See, nirataha, rataha means engrossed, immersed. Nirataha means what? Also totally immersed, totally engrossed. But here, totally immersed, totally engrossed implies what? Totally committed in this context. Atmani nirataha aham. I am totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge. I am totally committed to this goal called moksha. Because this is the priority, this is the goal, this is the very purpose of living this life. Therefore, Atmani Nirataha. Atmani Nirate Mayi. On my part, who am totally committed to the pursuit of Jnanam, may all those virtues, all those qualifications mentioned in the Upanishad for the spiritual aspirant be there on my part. So may I be blessed with, I am totally committed. May all those virtues and qualifications required for the attainment of Jnanam be they're on my part. Atmani nirate tad atmani nirate mayi ye dharmaha upanishatsu te dharmaha mayi santu. It all those virtues be in me means what? Be there on my part means may I be blessed with. So may I be blessed with all the qualifications I need to be eligible to pursue jnanam, to attain jnanam, discover Brahman, so that I will not be rejected. There won't be rejection on the part of Brahman. So being rejected by Brahman means Brahman cannot reject. What it means is not being prepared mentally, not being intellectually sharp, not being emotionally stable, not being focused, the disqualifications for wisdom, knowledge. If a person is not adequately qualified, when he is not able to attain jnanam, he or she is as though rejected by Brahman. That's what is meant by the word rejected by Brahman. I mean, there's no way of being rejected. Therefore, here the prayer is specifically made. Whatever qualifications, whatever eligibility, whatever virtues and values are mentioned in the Shastram Upanishad, may I be blessed with all those virtues and qualifications to pursue jnanam, to attain jnanam, so that I should not be rejected, I should not be deprived of that wisdom. Ye upanishatsu dharmaha te atmani nirate mayi santu. Even to make this prayer, I'm qualified. Now why? Aham Atmani Nirataha. Atmani Nirataha Aham. Atmani Nirataha Aham. Here Nirataha. Therefore Nirataha. Atmani Nirataha Aham. I'm engrossed in Brahman. I'm immersed in Brahman. What does it mean? Only after knowing you can be immersed and engrossed in Brahman. But now, I'm totally immersed in, engrossed in Brahman means I'm totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge of Brahman. Therefore, I deserve all the qualifications. I seek the grace of Bhagavan to be blessed with all those qualifications so that I will not be rejected, I will not be deprived of discovering Brahman. This is the prayer. Yadatma tadatmani nirate upanishatsu dharmaste mayi santu. Te mayi santu. As I said already, repetition is for making one's prayer more emphatic. Tadatmani nirateya upanishatsu dharmaste mayi santu. Te mayi santu. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Om Aapyayantu Mamangani Vak Pranas Chakshushrotramato Balamindriyani Chasarvani. See, the first sentence, we are not breaking, listen carefully. Om Aapyayantu. Aapyayantu mamangani vak pranas chakshushrotramatho balamindriyani cha sarvani. Om aapyayantu mamangani vak pranas chakshushrotramatho balamindriyani cha sarvani. Sarvam brahma upanishadam. Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam. Maham Brahma Nirakuryam. Maham Brahma Nirakuryam. Mama Brahma Nirakarot. Mama Brahma Nirakarot. Anirakaranamastva Nirakaranam Me Astu. Anirakaranamastva nirakaranam me astu. Tadatmani nirateya upanishatsu dharmaste mayi santo. Te mayi santo. Tadatmani nirateya upanishatsu dharmaste mayi santo. Te mayi santo. So tad means that or that's all. So, Atmani Nirate Ye Dharmaha, that Ekaraha becomes dropped in keeping with the Sandhi rule when it is followed by a short vowel Ukara. Tadatmani Nirate Ya Upanishatsu Dharmaste Mayi Santu. Te Mayi Santu. Tadatmani nirateya upanishatsu dharmaste mayi santu. Te mayi santu. Om shanti shanti shantihi. So, adhyatmikatapaha, adi bhautikatapaha, adi daivikatapaha iti tapatrayam asti. Tapatraya nivrutyartam trivaram shantiruchyate. For the removal of pain, agony caused by obstacles arising from three different sources, three times the word shanti is uttered. With this, shanti mantra is over. We have to enter into the Upanishad. So, What is that? Is there any doubt you have here?
Swamiji,
yeah.
I was just wondering what Tad refers to here in the last line.
Which one?
Tad. Tad,
yeah.
Atmani.
The Tad is simply added here. So may I be blessed with it. Tad is simply added itself. Anirakaranam astu anirakaranam me astu. So let there not be rejection on my part, there not rejection. Let there not be rejection on the part of Brahman, that may I be blessed with all qualifications expected, mentioned in the Upanishads. That's the meaning. That. See, may I not be rejected. No? That. May I be blessed with whatever is required on my part. All qualifications. All virtues. May I be blessed with all those things. So that if you had to combine that. Is it clear now? Yeah.
Swamiji.
Yeah.
So we got anirakaranam astu.
Yeah.
Karanam me astu. Does the may mean mama? For...
Yeah. Mama anirakaranam. So let there not be my rejection of Brahman. Let there not be rejection of me, of Brahman, is it? So let there be non-rejection on my part, let there be non-rejection on the part of Brahman, of me. Again, I told all, that is why it comes immediately after that. You say Brahman cannot reject. Being rejected by Brahman implies being not able to tap the grace of Bhagavan. And not being able to tap the grace of Bhagavan means what? Not being adequately qualified. Being inadequately qualified is what? Being rejected by Brahman. Understand now? That's why the prayer is, may I be blessed with all qualifications that I will not be rejected by Brahman. And we'll be doing the Bhasham part also in the class. So I'll see you tomorrow. Okay. At least remember this is a Samaveda. Both Upanishads are equally important Upanishads. Every Upanishad is equally important. All the Upanishads uniformly teach the same thing, same fact. And here, as Samaveda Upanishads, we have these two well-known Upanishads, Kena and Chandogya. Chandogya is highly significant Upanishad, being very big Upanishad also. Like Brihad of Shukla Yajurveda, but he, the other Upanishad. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad of other Veda. And here we have Kena Upanishad, small Upanishad, just having four sections, known as four chapters, with 35 mantras, but still very profound, significant Upanishad. So we'll continue tomorrow. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnanat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.